Women Worldwide with Deirdre Breckenridge introduces incredible stories shared by women across the globe who have experienced the great heights of success and, at times, the agony of defeat. With a vision to impart wisdom and advice on how to tackle barriers and soar to new heights, the show uncovers different perspectives to help you find your inner strength and to power up your own voice so you can excel in life.
Hi, everyone. I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Thanks for tuning into another episode of Women Worldwide. Let's talk about media, college, and the entrepreneur. Okay, maybe that makes you think about Facebook and Mark Zuckerberg. Well, my special guest today was in her senior year at Harvard when she launched her startup. She saw the need for an online magazine for college women and launched HerCampus.com with her partners. Joining me on the show is co-founder, CEO, and editor-in-chief of HerCampus, Stephanie Kaplan Lewis. Stephanie and her partners have taken their startup far beyond the Harvard campus. HerCampus Media is actually the number one new media brand for the empowered college woman and a 360-degree college marketing agency, reaching over 35 million users monthly across the HerCampus Media Network. HerCampus provides award-winning integrated marketing programs for clients including H&M, IKEA, Vera Bradley, Merck, and so many more. There's a lot that I could say about Stephanie, but I think it's time she shares her journey with you. Stephanie, it's great to have you on my show. Welcome.
It's great to be here. Thank you for having me.
Okay, so, you know, Harvard, startups, you know, you do think of Facebook, but you've really done something fantastic for college women. So you launched HerCampus, which is kind of like an online magazine for college women when you were there. And I guess I just want to start off asking you, is that what you always wanted to do, or did you see yourself as an entrepreneur? Maybe you can just tell us about your journey.
Yeah, that's a great question. So I was not someone who saw myself as an entrepreneur or in the business world or someone who set out to start a business. I was always really interested in media, journalism, writing, editing. And those are the kinds of things that I had gotten involved in when I got to college and through my extracurriculars and through my internships. I'd interned during college at 17 Magazine and at Self Magazine, and gotten involved in an extracurricular at Harvard that was Harvard's Lifestyle and Fashion Magazine, which was a student publication on campus. And that's where I met my now co-founders, Windsor and Annie, was through working on that publication. And it was really through our work on that and through the kind of response that we were getting from students both at Harvard as well as nationwide in reaction to what we were doing there on campus that we started to think, hey, maybe there's something more here beyond just a college extracurricular. Maybe we're really hitting on something here that could be a real business. And so that kind of got our wheels turning and turned into us launching a business and becoming entrepreneurs and being our own bosses and all of that. But we kind of fell into entrepreneurship because we happened upon an idea that we were really excited about, rather than saying, hey, we want to start a business. Let's look for an idea.
Yeah, I mean, you were kind of solving a problem, a need. You guys saw that. So how much, I mean, we all talk about the characteristics of the entrepreneur and how entrepreneurs are risk takers. Do you feel that in your senior year, launching your startup was actually a risk? How'd you feel about that?
Right. So I think there's always a question of whether entrepreneurs are kind of risk averse or risk loving or somewhere in the middle. And for us, you know, no question that pursuing our own business was more risky than going a very traditional path, like going to graduate school or into consulting or something the way many of our peers did. But at the same time, we approached it and set it up so that it was a very calculated risk for all of us. So we had conceived of the idea for HerCampus, entered and won the business plan competition during our junior year at Harvard. And then we knew that it was the kind of company that made sense to launch during back to school time. And so then the question was, okay, do we want to launch this back to school time a few months from now when we get back for senior year, or wait a year until we've graduated when we'll have a lot more time, we'll be able to do a lot more planning before then and launch it then. But our thought was, you know, hey, let's take advantage of this year while we are still students. You know, we don't need to be paying ourselves salaries just yet. And we kind of have this as a testing ground to really see, does this business have traction? Does it have legs? Can it really support ourselves after we graduate? So we made a point of launching HerCampus during fall of senior year. So we'd have a year of students to test it out and made sure that, you know, we weren't just jumping into it headfirst with no safety net right after we graduated. And around probably December or so of senior year, it was clear that it was kind of taking off to a point where it made sense for us to really pursue it and give it a go. And we were just getting a lot of great feedback from college women, from advertisers, from other players in the media space. And so we decided we'd do it full time after we graduated. But even then, we made sure it was still that kind of calculated risk. So for me, I had applied and been accepted to Harvard Business School to start 2 years after I graduated. So I knew I had that as kind of, not to demean Harvard Business School in any way, but as sort of the backup option. You know, if things crash and burn, you know, I can always, you know, I have Harvard Business School admission waiting for me. Windsor had a job offer from her internship the previous summer that she had turned down because we were going to do her campus full time, but she could have had that option back had she decided to change courses. And then Annie was actually 1 year behind us in school. So she actually took a leave of absence from Harvard in 2010 when Windsor and I graduated so that she could pursue the business full time along with us. So she knew that, you know, at worst, she would just go back to Harvard and finish her degree. So certainly it was more risky than other career paths many of our peers took, but we weren't just, you know, jumping into it without a safety net. We all had, you know, a very real, viable, stable backup option that we could have fallen into had things not worked out.
What a smart approach. So how did you actually get from your, you know, you mentioned senior year, things were taking off. You saw that this had the potential to be a business once you graduated. What do you think helped you grow beyond Harvard? What started you to propel to other schools and campuses?
Right. So when we launched her campus, we launched with kind of a national presence as well as just one campus chapter, which was the Harvard chapter. But even that national presence was made up of content written by college women at maybe 20 or so different schools around the country, people that I had met through internships or just replied to an online posting that we had put up. And so from the get-go, we had college women from a variety of schools involved. And because of the way we set up the company and that kind of the college women themselves are the ones producing the content, and they're also our target audience. We have almost this like built-in kind of PR and marketing machine, and that everyone is sort of naturally incentivized to want to share their content, want to get the word out there because they want people to read and see what they're doing. So from the beginning, we had, you know, a number of college women across the country kind of pushing this out there. And we really were just hitting on such a need that existed at the time for student journalists that were just so hungry for an opportunity like this during the school year to get to kind of flex their writing and editing skills, but in more lifestyle, fashion, editorial kind of way, rather than just writing for the school newspaper, that as soon as this was kind of put out there in people's radars, there was just so much interest in getting involved because there were so many student journalists really looking for this kind of an opportunity that just didn't exist before.
Yeah, that's amazing. You were just growing naturally these ambassadors that were taking hold and sharing. So did you also, how did your own relationships grow? Or how much were you and your partners networking to get things out as well?
We did a ton of networking. So I would say networking was something we were very intentional about. We took advantage of every opportunity, be it a speaker coming to Harvard's campus, an entrepreneurial event in the Boston area, people that we were able to meet and connect with through our internships over the summer before we launched, to really just make any and every connection that we could, let people know what we were up to, get their email address, follow up with them, and just really expand our network as much as possible. I think there are a lot of benefits to being, you know, a young first-time entrepreneur, but there are also just so many gaps that you have in terms of pure knowledge and skills that it's really helpful to have mentors and advisors that you can lean on to help fill in those holes. Not to mention just to make connections for you and say, hey, you should really be talking to so-and-so. They'd have some great advice for you, or, hey, you know, my friend works in marketing at wherever. I think they would be a potential client for you. So networking was something that we knew was kind of, you know, core to us being able to really expand our wings and get as big as possible.
Absolutely. And, you know, you mentioned your partners, Windsor, right? And Annie, yeah. I believe, and that you guys were all in school together, which is really cool. What's it like to work with your partners when you're disagreeing? I mean, it sounds like you agree a lot because of the way that you were able to move forward. But let's talk about when things maybe aren't going so well or you're not on the same page.
Yeah. So I feel so lucky to have had such strong co-founders and still have such strong co-founders in Windsor and Annie. We've now, really 9 years later, the three of us are still running this company full-time, all in, and have been all the way through. I think one thing that's interesting about our relationship is that a lot of people think that we were friends who started the business together, but really we were kind of business partners first and foremost, who then have become incredibly close friends over the years. But we really met through working together and through collaborating, and we had that working relationship in existence from having worked on the Harvard student publication that we knew kind of worked well and that we really complemented each other well professionally. And then it turned into a friendship rather than the other way around. And I think, you know, we knew from the get-go that we were very aligned on kind of mission, values, work ethic, our vision for the company. And they're literally the people I've spent the most time with over these past 9 years, more so than my family or my husband or, you know, my closest friends or anyone else, literally the most time I've spent with anyone. And so I think it gets to the point where when you spend that much time with someone, it's, you know, you can't kind of hold a grudge about anything. You can't really take anything personally or take it to heart. You might have a disagreement one minute, and then the next minute just move on to something else because, you know, you just have to. There's a lot of stuff to do. So at least for me, it's almost like the way it is with my immediate family or something where, you know, you can bicker about something 1 second and then it's back to normal 2 seconds later. And, you know, certainly disagreements will take place on kind of a surface level about day-to-day things that come up that you might not always see eye to eye on. But I feel very lucky that the three of us have never had a true deep-seated disagreement about anything really major about the business. We've always kind of been aligned on, you know, what we're looking for, where we see the company going, our vision for the company. And again, just kind of from a values and work ethic standpoint, we've always been on the same page. So I think things come up and you disagree and you just move on.
Yeah, no, you have to. It's definitely a give and take. Would you say that your partners are very much like you, or they have a different skill set so that you balance one another out? In other words, do you all work on the same things, or are things divvied up based on your skills?
Definitely the latter. So we each really have different areas of the company that we oversee. And that's been true from the beginning. And those areas have kind of evolved and expanded over time, just as the business has evolved and expanded. But we really each have kind of our own domains, our own teams that we oversee. And that's nice because no one's stepping on each other's toes. And at the same time, we really kind of play off each other well in that, you know, one person's strengths might be another person's weaknesses and vice versa. And we each enjoy doing different things as well. So I think that kind of division of labor has been super helpful for a really productive, successful, effective founding partnership for sure, because it's very clear what each person oversees and what they don't.
Absolutely. And when it comes time to take a break or to take a vacation, do your partners step in and you have absolutely nothing to worry about, or are you still on even when you're on vacation? How does that work?
Good question. It's definitely improved a lot over the years. In the first years, there was just no possible way to take any vacation. You could physically be in a different place, but there was really no way to kind of lighten up your workload, even just for any amount of time. Now it's gotten a lot better, you know, somewhat because of my co-founders, but really more so because of the incredible team that we've built beneath us now. So I would say we are able to take vacation now. I can kind of go on vacation and either delegate or put on hold maybe 90% of things if I'm going away. And there's probably a 10% that I just need to keep up with. And I mean, I'm always checking my email. I'm always kind of on and in the loop because I like to be, but it's really because of the incredible teams that we've each built beneath us that are able to kind of jump in and help support us so that we can take a little bit of a break, whether it's a honeymoon or maternity leave or just a vacation. But I think vacation is a relative term when it's your own business. So we're never truly unplugged.
Yes, I guess I can relate to that. Although I must say that I did recently take a trip to Spain for 2 weeks.
Wow.
Much more vacation than it was work. Let's put it that way. I also want to talk about your transition into physical events. So online magazine, and now it's physical events as well. Why don't you talk a little bit about your upcoming events? I think it's Her Conference and College Fashion Week.
Yes. So one thing that we've spent a lot of time on over these past years since we launched is really growing the company from being centered all on hercampus.com and our campus chapter network to really building out different brand extensions and different platforms to kind of extend the Her Campus brand, both to continue serving college women wherever and whenever they are, but also creating opportunities for advertisers to come in and sponsor it in ways that make sense and integrate sponsors into the Her Campus media network as well. So a couple examples of that are our forays into events. So our two largest events we put on every year are Her Conference, which is coming up July 21st and 22nd in New York City. And this will be our seventh year putting that on, as well as for College Fashion Week. And that's a two-day career development conference in New York City with 700 college women in attendance and an incredible lineup of keynote speakers, panels, workshops, really fun activations, different adjacent parties and events before and afterwards, breakfast, Friday night party, et cetera. So it's a really fun, really impactful weekend that is really amazing for us to get to bring so much of the Her Campus network together in person, since so much of what we do all takes place virtually. And it's an experience that the attendees get so much out of. The college women who are there, who are part of the Her Campus team, love kind of coming together that weekend. And we're able to create really creative sponsorship opportunities along with it, where we are able to integrate sponsors, you know, really naturally into the flow of the event. And then every fall, we put on a program called College Fashion Week, which is another proprietary program of ours. And the idea there is to really bring that New York Fashion Week experience to college campuses, to major college hubs. And we do that by putting on a big fashion show in Boston and then a big fashion show in New York the next week, where it's all real college women as the models going down the runway. We're showcasing up and coming female fashion designers and entrepreneurs, as well as major sponsors that want to support these college women and support these aspiring designers and entrepreneurs. And then a lot of fun, you know, performances and events and things like that around the shows. And then with both of those events, they'll be supported with a ton of related content on our site leading up to the event, throughout, you know, a fall fashion hub on the site in connection with College Fashion Week. So it all kind of relates and comes together. And really everything that we do is with the idea in mind of, you know, serving college women first and foremost, and just finding ways to kind of extend our brand in ways that make sense for us, for the college women, and for sponsors.
Your events sound awesome. I mean, what a great experience. Yes, I know. I want to come. It just sounds that everybody is learning, but having a great time. And what a great way to certainly get out there. And I love that how much you're supporting these young women. You know, events are hard. You know, yeah. when you transition from online and then you're doing event work, do you feel that that came naturally and easily, or did you kind of feel some hiccups and bumps along the way?
I think what's been nice is that, you know, certainly when we first put on these events, they were a much smaller scale than they are now, 7 years into producing them. So we were able to kind of scale it up gradually. I think the content of the events came really naturally to us. So something like Her Conference, it was, you know, very obvious to us exactly what kind of programming we wanted to have there, what kind of speakers to have there. And we had to just kind of pick up really quickly the event production side of it, of working with venues and vendors and all of that. But again, it wasn't, you know, a 700 plus person 2-day conference the first year. It was a 1-day, 200 person conference that first year, which was still a ton of work. We were a team of just 6 people at the time that put that event on. And we've kind of, you know, learned as we go, as we have with everything, I guess, you know, online and media and the internet is sort of our core and our sweet spot. But at the same time, you know, we were liberal arts college students when we started in that too, who didn't actually know anything about doing that kind of work either. So we kind of just figure it out as we go, and we do some things that work. We do some things that don't work. We have a big postmortem meeting, you know, to then figure out what are the changes we should make for next year. There have definitely been some big and small hiccups along the way. The event has always gone well in the end, but there have certainly been some very, very stressful times leading up to some of these events.
But you know what? If you can learn from your mistakes, because you're right. And sometimes even the errors that go on, no one else knows about them. It's right. Only internally you see things that maybe didn't work out as planned. Do you think that containing the growth, it sounds like you started more slowly and then built up these events. Was it a conscious effort to contain the growth? And would you recommend that to, you know, other professionals who might want to get into events?
I think for us, it was a matter of kind of, you know, doing what we were capable of at that time, both in terms of the manpower that we had on our staff, the amount of time we had, and the amount of money that we had to invest and put behind these events. And so because all of those factors kind of naturally scaled up over the years, and we got a better and better sense of what worked and what didn't at the events, they were kind of able to grow naturally. So I think with a lot of things about the business, we always had, you know, constraints in terms of personnel, in terms of time, in terms of money that helped to contain the growth. And I think because of that, it prevents you from trying to go from zero to 100 overnight and maybe really falling flat on your face. So that's definitely the approach that we've taken. I mean, I think we've seen excellent growth over these past 8 years or so, but, you know, it wasn't trying to go from, you know, zero campus chapters to 350 campus chapters overnight, or from no event to a 2-day 700 person event overnight. So I think the constraints that existed sort of forced us to approach it that way, but I think it was the right way to do it anyway.
Absolutely. Stephanie, I'm going to ask you to hold all of your thoughts just for a moment. We're going to take a super quick break, give some love to our sponsor. I also want to mention that Women Worldwide is on the C-Suite Radio Network, and you can find all of our shows at c-suiteradio.com. And while you're there, be sure to check out all the other great podcasts as well.
You have been listening to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge. Segment 2 is coming right up.
Creating brand loyalty requires a unique blend of strategic communication and innovative technology. Pure Performance Communications works with businesses to move their audiences from awareness to action and impact by offering a digital marketing roadmap. Let us help you foster deeper engagement and forge stronger relationships along the way. Visit us at pureperformancecom.com. That's pureperformancecom with two M's.com.
Now back to Women Worldwide with your host, Deirdre Breckenridge.
I'm Deirdre Breckenridge. Welcome back to the show. I was just chatting with Stephanie Kaplan-Lewis about her media startup, Her Campus, and how she's grown the Her Campus brand. So Stephanie, we just left off. We were talking about events, and there's always hiccups, but all the learning that you've done and the growth that you've seen, especially around events and your network in general. And maybe you could just share some of your other challenges, if you don't mind, that you've faced as an entrepreneur.
Yeah, I think the biggest challenges for us initially, and you know, I guess you could say there's still challenges today, are that, you know, we had no prior work experience, we had no money, and we had no business education. So we started our company without any of those three things, which are three what some people would consider kind of prerequisites to be able to start a company. But we were college students coming out of a liberal arts undergraduate, and we had never worked full time in the real world. And we've completely bootstrapped the company as well. So we've opted not to raise money, and we've funded it entirely through our revenues, and we've been profitable since we launched. But that certainly means that things are tight sometimes when you're running a bootstrap business. So I think, you know, those were the kind of things that in theory were going against us, but I think those things were going for us as well too, in that sometimes a healthy dose of naivete, I think, can be a good thing, because you kind of don't know all the things that you don't know. And if you were to realize how much is out there that you have no clue about it, we may have been a lot more intimidated than we were about actually jumping into this industry and trying to tackle the problem that we were solving if we knew how much there was that we just had absolutely no clue about going in. And I think, you know, the biggest challenge is always just there never being enough hours in the day. There's so many more ideas you have and things you want to do than are ever going to be able to actually pursue and get off the ground in a given amount of time. And so it's really a matter of fiercely prioritizing, okay, what is really the best use of time that's going to move the needle the most on the most important metrics for our business and really get us to that next place? And what do we have to just put on hold for the time being? And so especially when we were launching it, we were still full-time college undergrads. So we were just incredibly busy. And that was, you know, an incredibly challenging year, obviously, you know, running a company through senior year with a full course load and jobs and everything else that we were doing. But, you know, it made sense for us in terms of what I was speaking about before, being able to kind of take it as a calculated risk, not jump all in until we had a little bit more proof of concept there. But there are never enough hours in the day. And we're still learning as we go because this is our first job out of college and we've never done this before.
Yeah, I think the time factor hits everybody. So as you said, fiercely prioritizing is critical, right? So that you can stay on point and focused and get what you need to get done. I want to go back to your point about, no money, I think you said no work experience. And there was one more in that.
Right. It's no business education.
Right. And exactly. but that says something to so many people who are out there, that you can have a dream and a passion and you can have a side hustle and get something started and look at where it can lead. And that, you don't know what you don't know can really lead you to something bigger and better and greater in your life. So I'm so glad that you pointed that out. Let's talk about your strengths specifically. So what do you think is, as you went through challenges and you just shared a couple of them, what do you think are your strengths that help you with the ups and downs of your business?
I think the most important thing to succeed as an entrepreneur and that I've tried to hone in myself is really that kind of perseverance, mental toughness, stick-to-itiveness, drive. There are just, like you said, so many ups and downs, so many really challenging times, really low down moments. And you really need just kind of that that belief in yourself and just that grit and perseverance to be able to get through those times and keep going. And I think that's something that my parents really raised me with, of that idea of, whether you think you can or you think you can't, you're right. And that was something that, I try to keep in mind through anything that I'm trying to overcome in life and whatever that challenge may be. But I think having that kind of an attitude of, approaching things as, okay, whatever is put in front of me, whatever goal, whatever challenge, whatever obstacle, I'm going to get through it because that's who I am. I'm someone who never gives up, who doesn't quit, who can just make it through anything. And I think you have to kind of think of yourself in that way and really kind of like flex that muscle over time, whether it's, doing something like, training for a marathon or whatever it may be that kind of forces you to really push through really challenging moments. And that gives you the confidence to know that you're going to be able to do that again and again, no matter what is facing you in your path.
Yeah. Just how you mentioned that you can kind of rise up, get through anything, you're flexing your muscle. What part of that also, you mentioned your parents, and I'm thinking there has to be a support balance. So when challenges happen and, even though you have the perseverance and you're going to tackle it, do you ever rely on a close support system? Do you ask for help?
I think, my support system first and foremost is really my co-founders, Windsor. Yeah. And I think that's a huge reason, at least in our mind, why it's really important to start a business with co-founders, because there are going to be those really hard, trying days where you're really down. But what's nice is that, if I might be really down about something one day, hopefully on that same day, the two of them maybe aren't having such a tough day or vice versa.
They can balance you out.
So I think that is really helpful from kind of a morale perspective to have other people there to keep you going because, chances are you're not all going to be having a really bad day on the same day. Maybe you are if something's going really wrong, but hopefully on any given day, people can kind of balance each other out. And then I think beyond them, really leaning on, my parents, especially in the early years of her campus, and now my husband as well, to kind of help, put things in perspective, be that kind of outside voice where, I'll say to my husband, we're having this really big issue. Like, I think this is, worse than, really, this is worse than anything that's happened before. This is really bad. Like, I'm really not sure how we're going to get through this. And he's like, every, a few months or year, you have something come up and you feel this way and it always ends up working out. And I'm like, I guess you're right. But so it's nice to have that kind of outside perspective. And I think my parents have always been, my biggest cheerleaders for sure. Always pushing me, reminding me that I can do anything I set my mind to. And they really kind of raised me and my brother to kind of, approach the world that way. And so they're kind of always in my corner, which is nice.
Yeah, that is nice. Is there anything that you've learned about yourself that's almost surprising as you've been growing your business that maybe you can share?
Something that's surprising.
Yeah. Like, I didn't know I could do that. Or, wow, I really stepped up to the plate on that one.
Right. I'm trying to think. Well, I think, you know, I really never growing up saw myself as someone in business, let alone as an entrepreneur. I always thought I was going to be, you know, a writer or an editor or a journalist when I grew up. So it's been really interesting to see, I guess, the evolution of what I'm interested in and what I find kind of fulfilling and meaningful to do in my work day to day. And now this many years in, I can't imagine not being my own boss. I can't imagine just going and working for another company because I, you know, I really love being an entrepreneur and being kind of in control of my destiny, big picture, and even just within the day to day. So I think that's been really interesting for me because it's not ever where I would have expected to see myself when I was growing up or even in the early years of college. It's definitely not who I thought I would be, you know, when I grew up, but it's what I find really fulfilling now.
Oh, that's great. And maybe you can share, I don't know if you have mentors now or you've had in the past, or maybe even a friend or colleague. Has anybody ever shared a piece of advice with you that you feel has really stuck with you and that helps you, whether it's in the day of the day or some of the bigger things that you encounter?
Right. I think one kind of like mantra that I like to come back to is when the going gets tough, the tough get going. I think that's the kind of thing that when you're just like really down in the dumps, like you feel like you're just in like a complete rut, you know, mentally, professionally, whatever it is, kind of reminding yourself of like, okay, everyone gets into these places. Everyone has times that feel like this. But I'm one of those people where, you know, when the going gets tough, that's when I dig in, that's when I get going. And I'm going to bounce right back from this. So I think that's kind of like the mantra that I like to come back to in sort of the lowest of lows, because it's almost like empowering to feel like, okay, things are really bad right now, but you know what? That's in my favor because, you know, I'm the person that in that situation, you know, manages to rise above when maybe not everyone else, you know, can get back up over and over or something like that. So I have a couple of different, you know, kind of mantras that I like to sort of churn through depending on, you know, my mood or exactly what's going on. And I'd run the Boston Marathon a few years ago and found that so many of the kind of things that spoke to me work-wise were really, really helpful on, you know, a long, grueling, miserable run in the freezing cold or the rain or whatever. Because it's just, it's, you know, and I think one thing that Windsor, Annie and I say a lot is that running a company or doing a startup is really a marathon. It's not a sprint. And I think there's a big misconception out there that you're going to have this overnight success and you're going to go from nothing to this huge company so fast. And then you're going to sell your business for tons of money or whatever it may be. But really it's, you know, a really long road. It's really hard work. It's sprinkled with some really fun, exciting times, no question. But most of the time you are just slogging through for what feels like an endless stretch of time. So I think having that perspective is helpful. And I think a lot of people in the outside world kind of really, really don't realize that, running a startup is, it's quite grueling at times.
Yes, it can be. So how do you, you mentioned that you work with teams. So each of the co-founders, I guess you're handling your own teams. How do you motivate them when things, you know, as you said, you're kind of, you know, pushing along and it can get tough. And is it the same message to them that when the going gets tough, the tough get going? Or is there something else underlying that's getting them inspired and motivated to come along with you?
Yeah. I think what's nice about, you know, our company, especially, and it's true of many companies, but is that we're a very mission driven organization. So everything that we do is about serving college women, all college women first and foremost, and then within that really serving the college women that are part of the Her Campus team. So I think during those tough times or even just like stressful days at work, you have, you know, a challenging client or something's going wrong with an event we're putting on or whatever it is, being able to return to that mission of, okay, this is why we're doing it. This is all the people that we're serving. This is who we're helping. And we're really lucky to have this kind of constant, incredible feedback loop from all the college women out there and from our campus chapters who are telling us, you know, Her Campus was the best thing that I did in college. It completely changed my life. It made my college experience. So if you're having a down day, you can go on Instagram and click the HCXO hashtag and see all these posts by all these women that are part of her campus community, writing all these amazing things about what her campus means to them. So I think being able to go back to that is, really in the day-to-day, something that just puts things in perspective, reminds you, okay, this is why we're doing the work that we're doing, and this is all the people that we're really serving with it and who are really benefiting from this. So when you might be sitting in an office in Boston with 30 people dealing with emails or whatever it is, you can kind of step back and say, oh, right, this is something much bigger. And there are all these people out there that that are really getting so much out of what we're doing.
Yeah, that's a great reminder if you're ever down. Yes. Because people are sharing how wonderful you are and what you've done for their experience. So kind of begs a question, because you did mention being out there, people saying things on Instagram. How do you feel about social media? What do you absolutely love about it? And does anything maybe concern you?
So for the most part, I would say we love social media. It's definitely so core to our business and a huge shift that we've seen, especially since we launched. When we launched, it was really all about your website and traffic to your website, content on your website. And now so much of what we do is really centered around social media, and not just using social media as a way to direct people back to the site, but really engaging with them on social, creating unique content that lives only on social, and finding ways to integrate advertisers with that too. And before, social media was really just a traffic source to route people back to your site. So I think, there's so many great things about social. It also, for us, gives us such an instant look into our audience, what they care about, what they're thinking, feeling, what they're liking, what they're posting, what they're commenting on. So it's nice to have that visibility into your audience and to be able to have such a direct connection with them the way you can when you engage on social. I think it's obviously, a still relatively new world, a new industry of social media, and it's changing constantly. And I know so many publishers, us included, certainly end up being affected by things like the algorithm changes or new platforms that roll out and all of that. And so our approach has really always been to focus on the Her Campus brand as the priority, making sure college women love Her Campus, love the Her Campus brand, and that gives us the ability to be more nimble and be more flexible when social media tides change and people are moving from Snapchat to Instagram or whatever that change may be. We've really focused on building that brand identity so that college women want to engage with Her Campus, and it's not really dependent on the particular platform. And I think that's an area where some other publishers have stumbled when they've really adopted strategies that are very platform dependent and really play to a certain algorithm on a certain platform that may or may not still exist, next week, next month, next year. From a kind of self-image and bullying standpoint, there are certainly many concerns with social media that we have to be really cognizant of. And we definitely try to use our social media as a force for good, but there are, absolutely downsides to social media as well, with, mental health issues for sure. Absolutely, social media can contribute, and that's something that we work hard to fight against.
Yeah, no, it's good that you're doing that. And if people ever post a concern, or I don't know if it's ever happened, if they are unhappy, would you just jump in to address that? Or you're basically seeing a lot of happy people and that's not affecting you?
We'll certainly get negative feedback too. And it is nice because you can reply to someone. We might put up a post and it doesn't sit well with people for some reason, and our followers will DM us about that and on Instagram, and we can DM them right back. And
that's great.
Say, hey, this is why we did this, or hey, you're right, we've taken it down. So it's really nice to be able to have that, super close feedback loop and super close connection, because then people can feel heard, and either we can, explain, why we posted whatever we posted, or say, hey, you're right, thanks for bringing this to our attention.
Yeah, it's that gift of feedback.
For sure.
Sometimes you're going to love what they say. And even when you don't, it is a gift, because like you said, you can move forward, do something with it, make it better. And when you don't ignore it, you have a chance of making a better relationship. So maybe you could just give some parting advice to all those aspiring entrepreneurs out there. What would you say to them, if they're thinking about going out and achieving their goals and their dreams?
I think our biggest piece of advice is always to just, get going on it right now. Don't feel like you have to wait until you have enough time or until you've done enough planning and researching, or until you've saved up enough money. I mean, financially, it needs to be a smart decision for you and your lifestyle, but there are so many things that you can just kind of see as obstacles and reasons that you can see to delay getting going on it, or, oh, I'll have much more time for this in the future. The truth is, you're probably never going to be, you know, less busy than you are now. You're never really going to have time to start something new, especially if you're doing it on the side while you're still doing something else full time. So just get going on it now. Don't feel like it needs to be perfect from the get-go, because in fact, once you have something up and live, there's that feedback that you're getting that ends up probably informing your idea much better than any amount of research and planning ever could. So it's really kind of just start taking the first steps and just get going on it. Because there's never going to be a right time when you really have enough time to start a business. And it is a smart move to do it as a side hustle first, even though that might be crazy hours wise and time wise, it is a smart move to be able to test it out like that. So just get going on it and don't feel like you have to wait for XYZ things to fall into place before you'll be able to make it happen.
Yeah, I love it. Get going on it. I believe in that 80% rule. It doesn't have to be perfect. Stephanie, where can people find out more about you and Her Campus?
So everyone can go to hercampus.com as well as hercampusmedia.com, which is our B2B client-facing site if you're in the marketing, media, advertising world, as well as follow at Her Campus on all the major social media platforms. And herconference.com and collegefashionweek.com are the best places to learn about those two upcoming events.
Very cool. Stephanie, thank you so much for coming on the show. You've shared a lot of helpful advice and great tips. We really appreciate you sharing your journey with us. So thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having me. I really appreciate it.
My pleasure. And I also want to thank all of you for tuning into Women Worldwide. And if you can, please just take a moment and rate Women Worldwide on iTunes. We would love to hear your feedback. Okay, WW friends, until our next episode, stay focused, energized, and feeling empowered. Thank you.